And when I reload everything, it'll all be with RBCD. That's what I carry. All right. Now, let me give you some. You got the number? And by the way, if you want to go on the internet and get all the specs, it's www.rbcd, Romeo Bravo Charlie Delta, .net. Telephone number for Cindy Stoker. She runs the company, 877-688-5985. She'll give you distributor prices if you tell her that I've counseled you. All right, now, here is a very interesting statistic that I may have just time enough to present. Today, it was announced with some surprise that the Hispanic, now there's a difference between Latinos and Hispanics, but let's count the Hispanics as brown people from Mexico, Central America, and South America. Anyway, these Hispanics, mainly Mexicans, have reached 50 million and more as of the 2010 census. And everybody is shocked because Hispanics here back in 2000 and before, there weren't nearly that many. And now all of a sudden, they have over 50 million. Now, this was last year. I want to read you a government on population, Hispanic Americans census facts. This comes from the census, only this was 2009. The estimated Hispanic population of the United States as of July 1st, 2009, is 48.4 million. So 48,400,000 Hispanics. And it says, making people of Hispanic origin the nation's largest ethnic or race minority. Hispanics constituted 16% of the nation's total population. Well, now it's more. In addition, there are approximately 4 million residents in Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, which they don't count as Hispanics. All right, now it says every two people added to the American's population between July 1st, 2008 and July 1st, 2009 was Hispanic. All right, now here is a more recent, and now it's over 50 million. Washington, D.C., in a surprising show of growth, Hispanics accounted for more than half of the U.S. population increase over the last decade, exceeding estimates in almost every state. Pulled by migration to the Sun Belt, America's population center edged westward on a historic path to leave the Midwest. The Census Bureau today released its first set of national level findings from the 2010 count on race and migration. Now, notice it didn't say religion, and I want to hit that detail here in just a second. Detailing a decade in which rapid minority growth of Hispanics over aging whites. See, we're in a negative birth category here. Geographers estimate that the nation's population center will move southwest about 30 miles and be placed in or near the village of Plato in Texas County, Missouri. There's excitement. Let me get a couple of these things. It says the Hispanic count, demographers widely believe 50 million threshold has been crossed and is now close to 50.5 million. And in about 40 years, remember I've told you that whites will not be the majority after between 40 and 50 years. As a matter of fact, it won't be Hispanics either. But with this population information, it shows that Hispanics have far outstripped American blacks and Asians. And so it is interesting to see how quickly these things can change. And then we see this Sharia law. We should pay attention. All right, guys. You have a good day. I'll be back with you tomorrow, God willing. Stay with American Voice.
Just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 26, 2015. Folks, with Mission Watch Live, we are warning the world as it happens. If you need help with anything after this program, call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Our program archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com. If you scroll down on the right, it'll say radio archives. Or once you click that, you will find yourself at branch.podomatic.com. These are both very smart-friendly sites, and in fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app so that you can listen on your smartphone. And I hear that at least 50% of the people that listen to radio nowadays do so on their smartphone. But I do challenge you to share these programs with at least two or three others of your friends so that we can consistently extend our listening audience. Okay, now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guess. But please, Father, give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, Larry Pratt, is the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America, and he has been for the last 30 years or so. GOA is a national membership organization of 300,000 Americans dedicated to promoting your Second Amendment freedom to keep and bear arms. We will talk to Larry about many things tonight. We will see about Ferguson, the ammo ban, and about what just recently popped up, that some gun dealers have been forced out of business by an operation called Choke Point. Who better to know about this than Larry? So let's bring Larry on. Are you with me, Larry?
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on. You haven't been on in a couple of years, but prior to that, you were on a couple of times a year. It's great to have you back.
Indeed it is. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to your audience. I think it's really great when a pastor has obvious interest in the issues of the day, because certainly that's what I think we should be doing as Christians.
Well, amen. I just wished our brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters, would speak up more, because I believe that that's part of the reason that we've gotten to where we have in this country, is because we haven't been as outspoken as that we should be. I think the Obama administration has kept you pretty busy, haven't they?
Well, yes. The president, frankly, has one thing about him that I admire, and I wish I could see more of it on people on the other side of the political aisle, philosophical aisle, and that is he's tenacious. He just doesn't take no for an answer. He keeps coming. He's just indefatigable, and very few Republicans have that same spunk. The president's gun ban pursuit was defeated in the Senate. Well, that hasn't stopped him. Now he's trying to ban the ammunition that's used in one of the more popular rifles in the country by administrative order. And he has famously said that if the Congress isn't going to go along with him, then he has a pen and he has a cell phone, and that's the way he'll get things done. And that's the way he has been trying to get things done. Quite amazing, really, that he thinks he can, because he was elected president, that also elected him as the legislature.
Yes. It's really pretty amazing. You know, I'm 59 years old, and I never thought I would see a president, you know, will basically rule as he's ruling. I guess you would call it, what, a dictator or emperor, or what would you call that?
I think dictator is a good word. He's certainly lawless. He's not at all interested in does what I'm doing fit within the Constitution, let alone the laws of the land. He wants to accomplish his socialist agenda, and he doesn't care that it's unconstitutional, that the more the American people realize what he's doing, the more they dislike what he's doing and want him to stop. And frankly, the thing that upsets me even more than Obama is the fecklessness of the Republican opposition, an opposition that was elected, given a huge majority with which to control the Congress, and they have done absolutely as little as possible. They're afraid of their own shadow. They will not fight. And that's what I find so stunning. Here you have successful politicians who know how to get elected, and they've been elected, and the Republicans were elected with somewhat historic numbers, and you hear nothing from the leadership of the Republicans but, oh my, that confrontation we had with the president really hurt us. When that government shutdown occurred, which wasn't a shutdown, by the way, it was a slowdown. It was engineered by the president, who chose to shutter various agencies and offices. But nevertheless, these leaders particularly are convinced that that hurt the Republican brand. They believe this still after the Senate changed hands with 9 net new Republican senators and 12 more members of the House of Representatives, actually going well beyond what the numbers might have suggested were possible because of redistricting. A lot of districts have just become impossible to change from a Democrat to a Republican or vice versa. And
right.
Nevertheless, with all of this nearly unprecedented success, oh, well, we can't have a fight with the president because that would really mess up our name, our brand, and we can't stand that. So they're flat out wrong. And even if that they weren't, they were elected to fight. And they basically turned around to the American people and said, get lost.
Yeah, exactly. Obama, and there is really, you really hit the proverbial nail on the head, because to me, Obama can only get away with what we allow him to get away with.
Indeed.
The Republicans could have did and could do a lot more than what they're doing. I really don't get it.
It's fear. it's so simple conceptually what they could do to stop this man. They talk about, well, if we pass this law or that law, then he'll just veto it. Well, that's true, he would, although I don't have any problem with forcing Democrats to vote on something. But let's have them vote on something that actually would have effect. You don't need the president's signature for a spending measure amendment. And if say they vote to none of these funds may be used to ban this or any other kind of ammunition. Okay, add that as an amendment to a measure that the president considers must pass. That's how they got rid of the federal ban on guns in national parks. They put it on that dreadful credit card bill that the president wanted, and even though he didn't like that amendment at all, he signed the bill, thus putting that amendment also in the law. That same strategy could be used, except that they're afraid that he will shut down, quote-unquote, the government. And, well, we know we can't have that. And so they have paralyzed themselves. They're prisoners in their own mind. It's kind of like a battered wife. They know where the door is, and they could walk right out, but so often they don't because in their own mind they're prisoner, even though, in fact, they're not prisoner. They could walk out if they wanted to. These Republicans don't want to. They simply don't want to fight. And the only solution I can see is what we might dub the David Brat solution. David Brat took out Eric Cantor for, generally speaking, these very kinds of issues. The Republican leadership was perceived as doing harm rather than good, and his Republican suburban Richmond district went against him. And David Brat, a college professor, beat him rather handily. We need to see 100 David Brats bloom in districts across the country. Not all are going to win, but I think that would be the only way to signal to the Republican establishment, we understand what you're doing and we're giving you a choice. Do what we sent you to do, or we're just going to get rid of you.
Yeah, absolutely. They seem to always just be worried about the next election, you know, what makes them look good.
Let's give them a reason to be worried about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I'm all for it. Let's start the campaign tonight. You know, absolutely. The thing that really bothers me is, these guys doing nothing, they don't understand that the mandate they were given, if they don't do that, won't that get them kicked out of office in itself?
Well, it's just an amazing thing that they don't really believe their rhetoric. And it's not just the leadership, although I fault them a great deal, but it's the caucus in general, with some exceptions. Your Congressman Holzkamp out there in Kansas is one of them. But as a rule, the Republican caucus itself tolerates the leadership doing this. So until the caucus is willing to stand up and say, Mr. Boehner, you either change or we change you. We're not going to follow your agenda any longer, because your agenda is the wimpiest, sorry excuse we've ever seen for a faithful application of the Constitution and following the will of the people who are our boss, Mr. Boehner.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 So much has went by. I thought maybe that there was going to be some hope when I seen World Net Daily had started that campaign, you know, that they had a mail-in, a priority letter campaign, and I thought maybe that would have some effect, that maybe other Republicans would take him out of leadership, but it did nothing, you know, absolutely. So going on from that, you know, how there is the other harbinger, and then how far is Obama going to be allowed to get away with in this next, what's he got, 18 months or something? I don't know.
It's right now, it looks as if he can get away with about anything he wants. And those that have been willing to take him on in the Senate, significantly Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, a lot of his Republican colleagues were derisive. They called him a wacko bird. So they actually will go after someone who is trying to faithfully carry out the will of the people. That's how dug in these folks are.
Yeah, absolutely. So it wouldn't, you know, really, people were saying, well, we're going to be saved with the 2016 election. We'll have a Republican for president. I don't, if they act in this manner, I don't see where it really matters much.
Well, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference unless and until we can start beating some of these folks. And that's a song I'm going to be singing. It may only have one note, but I'll tell you what, that note needs to be sung loud and clear. And we're looking for people that are willing to oppose. They need the support of people from around the country, because a congressman from Ohio is not somebody you all in Kansas can vote for, but it may be that supporting the candidate against that Republican do-nothing incumbent is the way to get some relief from the government oppression that's sucking your financial blood in Kansas.
Right. Right. I wholeheartedly agree. We need to get more involved. And that's what I kind of said at the first of the program. You know, I've been saying it for quite a while now on radio that I believe that a big reason that the country is in the mess they're in, because I still believe that it's a Christian country. I believe that there's more of us than there are of them, so to speak. But for the most part, it's silent. To me, that's not a way America started. I mean, you know, some of our greatest founding fathers were either ministers, they believed in the gospel, and they spoke, they fought. Why is everybody being so silent? Because we outnumber them. That's what I'm talking about. So they need to speak up. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, that's it really comes down to that. We need to be speaking up, and then we need to be acting. We need to be putting our checks in the mail to the candidates that are convincingly trying to make a difference. And we need to, when they're at all within our driving distance, we need to be supporting them as much as we can with our volunteer help. Typically, Republicans and conservatives are not going to be able to get the paid help that unions provide Democrats. So right. It really comes down to us being willing to cut into our lives, maybe miss a ball game that one of the kids has, which is not a good thing. I think it's a good thing for parents to be with their kids at events like that, but something has to be sacrificed, or otherwise we're going to be playing ball right into the prison camps.
And you said a key word there. You said sacrifice. You know, they called the, you know, World War II the greatest generation. You know, they were willing to sacrifice themselves for the greater good of the country and for the world. And that's what I'm just not seeing, really, out there among anybody, whether it's Christians or non-Christians. It's, you know, being able to put that effort forward and sacrificing some of your entertainment time or other things. That's why it's called a sacrifice. But sacrifice is what counts and what makes it.
Yeah, and that's not something that our culture is very supportive of. I guess that's one of the things that Christians are called upon to do, is to lead the way and to be willing to do things like that, to get out of our comfort zone and try to make a difference. Humanly speaking, this is one of the ways of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. The word, you know, not to get real scripture on you, but in the word it tells us that there's no greater thing than if we lay our lives down for our brothers, you know, and for our brethren, you know, and that's what we should be doing. And that just seems to be lacking, whether it's in the simplest things they could do by making their voice known or making phone calls or doing what you're saying. You know, they need to volunteer and get involved. I just see, you know, the country as a whole, our culture, like you said, is becoming uninvolved, and it really kind of scares me.
Yes, because it leaves the levers of power in the hands of people who don't have our best interests at heart. They're interested in short-term gain for themselves, for their supporters. Politics becomes a kind of business rather than public service, and that's not a good thing. Politics has got such a bad rap because most of the good folks have done not enough to be involved in politics, so a disproportionate number of bad folks get involved in it, and that's where the bad name for it comes from. But if we say that politics is dirty, we've just accused ourselves of not being involved ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It gets less dirty the more of us that get involved in it.
Right, absolutely. The more of us, and you hear that, folks, the more of us that get involved, the more the darkness is pushed back. That's just like putting, you know, the Bible in your mind. The more good stuff you put in there, the more bad stuff it pushes out. And it's the same way with what Larry and I are talking about. The more of us that get involved with it, then we can stop the dirty politics by being involved and taking control, by volunteer, and so on and so forth. And so, amen. I'm sure I'm glad we've got into this direction of conversation tonight, Larry. I appreciate it.
You know, to further the direction of what we're discussing, I would suggest that people look at, and it's going to be different in every state, how you get involved in the political party in your area. And for most of us, it's going to be the Republican Party. It may be controlled by a bunch of rhinos. Well, all the more reason to get involved yourself so that you can eventually see them moved out to pasture, and folks that really want to have constitutional government get in. But to be part of the Republican Party often means that, say there's a candidate, an office holder, I should say, dies in office. Well, typically, it's going to be some entity of the party that chooses the nominee, and it often will not even be for that emergency situation. It won't be a primary. It'll be some committee within the party. And if we're not there, and if we're not part of that process, which sometimes I'll admit can just be boring, and that's why I have an iPad, so I can do other things rather than just completely unredeem the time. But, you know, we need to be there when somebody needs to be pulling those levers of power. I'm just thinking last night I had a Bible study at the same time there was a meeting of the county Republican committee. Well, I just had to go late to the Bible study. I got there, but I had to go and make sure I maintained my membership in the county committee and find out if there were going to be any votes that I needed to be present for. And then once I'd signed in and maintained my place on the committee, then I was free to go. And it was inconvenient, and I was late to the Bible study, but I was, you know, I had to do that. And
absolutely.
That's just the way has to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me break in here because we're going to go to break in about 30 seconds. Your website is gunowners.org, is that correct?
That's us, and that's where you can sign up for our free alerts. That's how you can stay posted on what's happening in Washington. And we'll embed an email in those alerts so that you can just very easily send it off to your member of Congress telling them this is what you would like them to do or not to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, and that's Gun Owners of America, and wherever this program appears in archives or at least on our website, there will be a link to it, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with Larry.
Pastor Dan will be right back. have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices going up. Homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that are barely keeping roofs over their heads because of this economy, which, as the blame with all things seems to be nowadays, seems to be this administration. But support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We need your help as we really don't get any help from any organized churches or government agencies, of course. It's only folks like you that supported us that we're now in our 15th year. Well, it'll be our 15th year complete come June 1st that we've been doing this mission church work. And, you know, a funny thing happened the other day. A police officer, which they used to have to stop by, you know, the mission church every once in a while to check on somebody or something. And he came up, and he seemed a little bit annoyed. Come up, and he said, who's Pastor Dan? And I went, well, I usually point to somebody that else. But I said, okay, well, it's me. And he said, well, you know, ask me about some things. And as we were on the way out, he said, you know, I got to tell you something. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, He said, you know, I've been on the force for seven years, and I do really appreciate everything that you're doing in here and you're doing. He said, but, you know, I've heard so many stories about you. And I said, when I went through all the things that we did, you know, well, not all of them, but part of them, first aid, people walk in bleeding and bloody. We give out food. We give out shoes. We give out clothing. We give out Bibles. We give the gospel, so on and so on and so forth. If a person has a problem, we're just the go-to place to do it. So it's not always, it's not just the homeless. It's poor people also. And even other people that aren't even really, that are middle-class people that come in seeking answers. Well, he said, you know what? He said, that's what I mean. He says, you know, around with all the talk with us, he said, you're a legend. And I stopped and I thought, a legend? And I said, well, that's all good, ain't it? And he said, yeah, it is. But, folks, that's what I mean. For 15 years, you know, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people. And it isn't Pastor Dan doing it. It's the Father doing it, you know, the Father and the Son. But they only do that because you folks out there donate the money to do it. A legend. Well, that's pretty wondrous. Well, you know, it's Christianity. That's the gospel that's actually being the legend. People know that we're different. We're not just like the people down the street that when they walk out of church, they're just like everybody else. We are set apart and different. And we do what counts. We lay down our lives for our brother. And we was talking about sacrifice. So my thought is, I know not everybody can get out there and do the things that we do, but you should always support, whether it's, and I believe in starting someplace close to you, but support the people that are doing the work, whether, and that's what Larry was talking about. You need, if you can't do it yourself, send out the checks. Give them the means and the way to do it. So we do, I do appreciate all that you do for us, and by no means. In fact, that night was a church service, and I made sure I repented that I wasn't taking any kind of pride in being called a quote-unquote legend. To me, all credit goes to the Father and His Son, and credit goes to you folks for supporting us in what we do. So we're, folks, the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking with Larry Pratt, the Executive Director of Gun Owners of America. Are you still with me, Larry?
I am with you, sir.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. I'm really enjoying our conversation today. Maybe it's time now. Operation Choke Point. I just heard a little bit about it, and I've read a little bit on your site about it. It's one of those things that just slipped by me. Is this new?
Well, it turns out it had been in operation for some time, and we finally got wind of what they were doing. It's an apt name, all right. It's to try to choke out businesses that the Obama administration doesn't like, and that especially includes gun stores, and make it through the regulatory agencies at the federal, that the federal government has, make it so that credit is choked off from gun stores. Many businesses, certainly gun stores, are likely to need loans from time to time, particularly at the when new models are introduced and they want to stock up on inventory. That's when they go to the bank, and the banks, for a while, because of pressure from the federal government, were telling them, we don't loan to businesses like yours. Now, we had a measure go through as an amendment in the Congress, and that pretty much stopped what they were doing, but we still heard of a banker not too long ago, maybe just on his own, but he told a gun store up in Wisconsin, we don't make loans to businesses like yours.
Like and, yours.
Yeah, right.
That's almost creepy.
Yeah, it is. It's very much so. The government had lumped gun stores as dangerous businesses in the same category as pornographers and payday loan stores and things like that. Just a potpourri of politically incorrect businesses. But to lump a gun store, which is dealing with a constitutionally protected item, well, that's the Obama administration for us. That's what they do. And we think we've pretty much choked off Operation Choke Point. But again, it's not something that is completely taken care of until we can make sure that we have an amendment that says none of these funds. That's the only sure way to deal with this administration.
Right, absolutely. And it goes back to what we were talking about. And unless we have the right people there that are willing to speak up and stop it, I mean, you know, we're just spinning our wheels. They'll just invent something new. I didn't get a chance to talk to you about the AR-15 ammo. Tell the folks about that. A lot of people have asked me about what exactly went on and how did it get stopped. And I knew you'd be the man to ask.
Well, it was an extraordinary episode, and I'm not – well, I think what it probably does is, among other things, show us how little they know about firearms and ammunition. They were hoping that they could get the country to believe that this M-22 ammo, which is just a particular kind of AR-15 rifle ammunition for what's probably the most popular rifle in the country, that somehow this particular ammo, because it was made in a somewhat different way, was armor-piercing and had to be banned. Well, it turns out all rifle ammunition can pierce standard body armor. So there wasn't anything, even though there were different components in the bullet, didn't make it any more dangerous than other AR-15 rounds. But they were, I guess they were hoping that somehow, you know, the diagram and showing the steel and the construction of the bullet and, boy, that really made it so bad. Take a deep breath. It didn't make it any worse or any less worse. So we finally batted that one down, and it turned out that while they were still waiting for the comment period to end before they supposedly decided whether or not to go ahead with this regulation, they had already had it printed in some manual, and they weren't waiting for any comment period. They knew exactly what they wanted to do. The comment period was just a necessary irritation required by the law, but they weren't going to let no stinking bunch of comments change their
minds. So, that's funny.
And happily, that came to light while the comment period was still in place, and so they, never mind, and temporarily at least they've withdrawn. But with these guys, you know, you're going to have to remain on guard until they are, looking at us in their rearview mirror on their way out of town January of 17.
So there's the thing. So it was just the people speaking up that got enough attention that they decided to get rid of it?
Some 300,000 people commented even before the period had ended. And I guess it was just pretty intense. And they realized what people might have told them had they been asked, that, you know, if you poke a stick in that hornet's nest, it's really going to be bad.
but you know, there's a perfect example where this AR-15 ammo and what happened with it is a perfect example of what we were talking about in the first part of our program, getting involved and speaking up. And their voice can make all the world of difference instead of just, you know, sitting back thinking your voice won't count. I really get tired of hearing that. I hear that a lot with people asking, well, you know, in casual conversation, talking about voting and say, well, you know, who did you vote for, whatever? And they go, well, I don't vote, you know, because my vote's useless. Well, first thing I say to that person, well, then that takes your voice. Then you really can't complain. If you don't vote, how can you complain?
Exactly. Let alone get involved. It's just an amazing situation where this administration thinks they can behave in such an unaccountable fashion, and it's really I find it very alarming, because It's, of course, it's not just guns. It's with the Environmental Protection Agency. It's with so much throughout the government. They're just doing things with abandon, and the right. Republicans have so far proven to be just totally inept at dealing with this guy. For a guy that's supposed to be such a doofus, he has been running circles around this Republican Congress, and so I don't find him to be stupid at all. He may be messing up from our point of view, but from the communist way of thinking that he has, he's getting his job done. He's doing a perfectly okay job.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, you know, I had talked about this man with people, you know, before he was ever elected, and we saw a lot of his agenda because of the people that he was around, and that's a big deal. You know, people still ignore all the different people he grew up with and the people that, you know, tutored him. But that's where his ideology comes from. And by looking at that, we knew this guy was going to be a nightmare. And, you know, to me, he's being right on point with what he said he was going to do. He's going to fundamentally change the country. And, you know, he seems to be true to his upbringing. So, yeah, it's not a question of being stupid. If he was stupid, he wouldn't have all these things done.
And then when you get somebody like Senator Cruz who actually tried to cut off the money in the last Congress, his own party jumped all over him. It was John McCain that was calling him a wacko bird and refused to join him in cutting off some of these funds. So that's why I say we've got a lot of work to do in the primaries. Senator McCain is up for election in 16, and there's a state rep, I think her name is Kelly Wright, maybe a senator, but anyway, somebody that's shown they can get elected, seems to be rather conservative person. If they're willing to take on a sitting senator, they've got some guts, that's for sure. And people like that need to be supported so we can put the axe to this McCain-type guy and others as right. like him. We need to do the same thing.
Yeah, Ed McCain is one is another one of them that I am really surprised that has managed to stay in office because, you know, he's the first one. It seems like he's about the first one to jump up and go get on their side. You know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he calls himself a Republican. But then again,
the Democrats' favorite Republican.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed on Drudge Report, and I didn't even bother to look it up, but it had a headline, and it was saying that Boehner was getting his power from the Democrats, that the Democrats were backing him because they liked him in the House.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on. Absolutely. And that'll happen. Any legislation he's pushing could very well pass, even though the Republicans might be opposed to it. He'll get enough Democrats to override. You know, there'll be a handful of Republicans like him. Lindsey Graham seems to be joined at the hip with him, and there'll be three or four others. And it doesn't take that many to tip it. And so we've got more work to do, sir. We are not by any means finished getting rid of the problems that are besetting us. And I personally just very happy that Senator Cruz is willing to challenge the establishment the way he's doing it. It needs to be challenged.
Absolutely. He was, you know, basically a Tea Party guy, and he's doing what the people elected him to do, or at least trying to.
That's right.
Keeping to his campaign promises.
I think he's going to emerge as a very strong contender because of that. He hasn't gotten the buzz that a Jeb Bush has or even a Scott Walker has. But now that he's an announced candidate, I think people are going to be taking a look at him. And what we've seen here working in the Congress is we've seen a guy who doesn't blink and who's incredibly bright So he's not as likely to make very many missteps anyway. And even his Harvard law professor, who of course is on the left, had said about Cruz that in all my years of teaching, I've never had a student that was anywhere near as bright as Ted is. I don't agree with his philosophy, but I gotta say, he's the smartest one I ever had. So even when typically when a conservative Republican is running for anything, the media tries to jump on it. Well, he's as dumb as a bag of bricks. That's what they tried to get us to believe about Reagan. Boy, I'd like to be as dumb as those guys are, you know. Yeah. But nevertheless, they can't really pull that one off with much of a straight face, because even people on the left have said, he's pretty smart. So they're going to have to basically, I think the word they're going to try to use effectively against him is he's crazy. He must be crazy to want to change things that we've been doing for all these many years, Republican, right, Democrat alike. You got to be absolutely out of your mind.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, if he's out of his mind, let's all get out of our mind with him, you know. And Jeb Bush would be a fatal mistake for this country in my eyes. You might as well classify him right up there with the rest of the liberals. We got about 5 minutes left. I just wanted to ask you what you thought about the way that this administration has spoke against, well, you know, like Ferguson. To me, that was promoted. I mean, you know, we go with the same with George Zimmerman, all these things. And now we've had police officers being shot. And, you know, do they bear some responsibility? Any thoughts on all that?
It started with, as you mentioned, with Zimmerman, when the president said, well, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Really? So you don't have a problem with a guy that launches a sneak attack on the neighborhood watchman, and when he gets himself killed as a result of it, you want to side with the little juvenile delinquent. By the way, they didn't say much about it, and the normally inquisitive reporters who can find anything out about anybody, no matter how sealed the records might be, they never did do much investigation about the juvenile delinquency record that dear little Trayvon had. They just right. kept running cherubic pictures of this sweet-looking little young fellow and completely distorting who he really was. He was a bad dude.
Right.
I think they took that situation and they tried to spin their own narrative, somehow suggesting that Zimmerman was on a hair trigger or something like that. Baloney. The guy barely got to his gun in time. He was in dire straits with his head being pounded on the concrete, and we're to understand that if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Well, then what we're really hearing is, I wish I had a juvenile delinquent punk no good son.
Yeah, and that's the size of it. And that should reveal a lot about his character, don't you think?
It does. I think so. And then when we go to New York and Eric Garner was killed by an officer, well, it turns out the guy was resisting arrest and ended up getting himself into a hold. It wasn't a chokehold, but apparently it stressed the heart of this very overweight guy, and he ends up dying. Now, I would want to just insert in making that point that this never would have happened had we not had so many stupid laws on the books. The guy was being arrested for selling a single cigarette.
That's
just not something cops should be assigned to do. So in a way, it's the lawmakers that set up the whole dreadful situation. But nevertheless, there was nothing racial about it. There was nothing about a cop war on the citizenry. If we want to start blaming people other than the guy that was engaged in the illegal activity. Well, we need to blame the people that were engaged in the illegal activity.
Right.
And then when you come to Ferguson, you're talking about illegal activity big time, and the sending the Justice Department out there to investigate the police in Ferguson. I don't know anything about the police department there. Maybe they were pretty obnoxious. It could well be. I just don't know. But the fact of the matter is, the gentle giant was not a gentle giant. He was involved in criminal activity moments before he met his end. He did attack the cop. Finally, his accomplice had to admit that he had lied through his teeth about the gentle giant being shot in the back, because the autopsy showed he'd been shot from the front as he was attacking the cop.
Absolutely.
If I'd have been that poor cop, I probably would have resigned from the force long before I got into his delicate situation, but I would have done the same thing. And so here we've got criminal activity being somehow twisted into a narrative that black people have legitimate objections and they ought to be out on the streets and they ought to be really doing everything they can to upset the established order. And I think the Attorney General and the President have blood on their hands. I think that some of this violence comes directly from their words.
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't said it. Let's put it this way. They have the words that they could have chosen used could have really created, you know, a dialogue, you know, for problems and could have quelled it. Instead, they gave them a book of matches, you know. They gave them a book of matches. Well, Larry, we're really out of time. It was really good to have you on, and I'll keep an eye on your updates, folks. You should get the updates from GunOwnersOfAmerica.org. You go over there, you sign up for their email updates, and you keep apprised of this, and get involved. Larry, any final word, and say goodbye.
Well, I appreciate you giving out the website. I encourage people to go there. Indeed, it's GunOwners.org, and it's free to get those alerts. They will make a difference. They have made a difference. We were able to stop a gun control law after Sandy Hook that the NRA was supporting. And still, because people who got the Gun Owners of America alerts acted on them, we stopped gun control in its tracks.
Amen. Well, I appreciate what all you all do, and I thank you. We'll talk again. You be blessed, Larry. Thanks for being on.
And thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, the big key word, I guess, to this program, all programs end up with a theme. You know, if you Christians, we're supposed, the word sacrifice, we're supposed to be, Christian means Messiah-like. If you're indeed Messiah-like, he sacrificed himself for the whole world. He sacrificed himself for generations. He made a horrendous sacrifice. We're coming up on Passover, which is a reminder of that sacrifice, that he gave his life for all of us so that we might have eternal life. Where is the sacrifice in Christians in America nowadays? Now, I know if this isn't speaking to a specific Christian out there, but look at your life and look at your reflection. Do you sacrifice any of your time for the Father? Do you sacrifice the offerings that you give to people? Are those sacrificial offerings, you know, that you had to give something up in order to, for the greater good? And that isn't just talking about, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about whether it's to your local church or to helping somebody that's a family member, or maybe to a politician that you believe in, because they've got you hoodwinked to believe that you're not even supposed to be in politics, and you are supposed to be involved in politics. We are supposed to be involved. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help, because what we do isn't done without your donations. Remember, there is only one God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.